going down for real. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Week 13 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Lions and the Packers. We, however, are waiting for Week 13 for the Browns, the Bengals, and the Browns, the Battle of Ohio this Sunday at First Energy Stadium. So that's what's coming up there on today's show. We're very excited. We'll have the coordinators for you. Are we going to go all three today, Matt?
We are.
Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator. John DeFilippo, of course, the offensive coordinator. And Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator. They will all be with us. Of course, yesterday the big news was that Terrell Pryor had signed with the team. And, of course, Austin Davis was named the starter. Josh McCown goes to IR. So this is a team that ends up going into this game with now the 24th quarterback since 1999 for the Browns, the third quarterback starting for the fourth consecutive season here for the Cleveland Browns, as Austin Davis will take the field against the 9-2 Cincinnati Bengals, a team that, other than a little bit of a hiccup against the Arizona Cardinals, it's a team that has been phenomenal on defense of late. We know they held the Browns to just 10 points in the first meeting on that Thursday night, and they will look to continue their winning ways against the Cleveland Browns. And it's a team that I talked about their defense. Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, 10 points. Texans, 6 points. Rams, 7 points. Browns, 10 points. So other than that Cardinals game where they gave up 34 to what we all know is a high-flying offense, an offense that put up 34 on the Cleveland Browns, nobody has scored more than 10 points against this team since back in week number 6 against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And another bit of news that just hit my notifications via Bleacher Report is that the Cleveland Browns are considering putting Joe Hayden and Andrew Hawkins on IR. And even furthermore, that Terrell Pryor is still a primary wide receiver, not going to play dual positions here in Cleveland.
I got to say the Andrew Hawkins one does not surprise me at all. The Joe Hayden one at this point doesn't really surprise me that much either, because where is he? Where has Joe Hayden been? He remains in the concussion protocol and has not been able to shake that thus far. And so obviously it is a little bit concerning, and that's why, you know, you look at this situation and it doesn't surprise you. This would be the sixth game he's missed with a concussion. He's a guy that is a fixture for your team. Coming back this season maybe doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So perhaps it's just they feel that it's time to just go ahead, shut him down, and get him healthy for next season.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think, you know, the National Football League is putting emphasis on, you know, head trauma, injuries, concussion, and trying to make this a safer football game, you know, all the way down into youth football. And I think it would be contradictory to have a guy like Joe Hayden, who struggled with concussions, you know, a significant portion of the season, fight to come back and potentially have another one, which at that point would be his, what, third of the season?
It would be his third of the season.
Joe's third of the season, yeah, which at that point, you know, he's got a life to live after football.
Of course he does, and you certainly would become concerned at that point for him with what's going on there for Joe Hayden. You know, it's interesting we talk about that, and we're concerned for Joe Hayden and all of these things, and it's amazing. I don't know if you had a second just to get off football for 1 second. If you had a chance to see the news yesterday about the tragedy out in San Bernardino. Absolutely terrible, and it just, you know, you think we've got the holiday party coming up, and think about people being at a holiday party, just kind of celebrating in their office, and then all of a sudden you have that mass kind of what I would call basically a mass murder, and, you know, guys in body armor, and it seemed a pretty well-coordinated, ugly event. And so just want to say from all of us here, thoughts and prayers to everybody out there in San Bernardino and everyone affected by what is obviously another unbelievable tragedy.
Have they determined whether it was like terrorism or not?
They have not said yet. They've released, obviously, you know, the name of one of the people, but they have not said yet. At least that was the latest that I'd seen. I was trying to look.
Yeah,
that
it's
up.
Terrible. I couldn't. I was following it closely.
And this stuff doesn't happen in other countries, by the way. It doesn't.
And I saw this on again. I'm on Facebook very few and far between, and I actually saw this, and it's by a he's a politician now, but he's actually he was a classmate of mine throughout grade school. That and so we're friends, and he posted something to the point of this is the I think the 355th shooting in the United States this year, or I want to say mass shooting, but a shooting, right? And ironically, I think it's, what did he say?
So it does sound like, by the way, the latest is they released the names of everybody involved. It was a husband and wife couple, and it is the evidence is mounting that when the pair left their factory home brandishing assault weapons and pipe bombs decked out in body armor, they were hell-bent on jihad. So it does, they got the terror, the terrorism task force is all investigating. That seems to be what people believe is going on here.
Right, and just going back to my point, and long story short is, we're almost at one mass shooting per day in the United States now.
It's absolutely amazing and sad. And again, prayers and thoughts to everybody out there. Just, you know, you think about just how easy it is for somebody who decides that, you know, you don't have the right to live because that's, you know, that's the way that they view it. And that's basically what's going on. And it's unfortunate. And again, prayers and thoughts with everybody out there affected by this tragedy in San Bernardino. All right, we've got, as I said, the coordinators coming up, 216-578-0850. That's how you'll call us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And somebody said, you are mistaken, shootings happen over the world. That is true, but in terms of mass shootings, the Americans lead the way by quite a lot, which is unfortunate for this country and for all of us. So that is that, and again, tough. You don't like that stuff about there, but it does put football in perspective, and it puts, you know, what's going on here in perspective. Not good, but it is not bad, like real life bad things that are happening out there all across this country and all across the world. We saw it there as well. So it is obviously a terrible thing, and you know, we got to try to keep in America, you try to move on and hope that they can do whatever they can, the people in charge, which is why, again, that salute to service is so important as people try all around this country. And you have plenty of service people in this country, not just the branches of the military, but the police, et cetera, doing everything they can to keep us safe every single day. And we certainly are grateful for all of them and all that they do. All right, as we talk about this team, the injuries, the mounting, the record dwindling, the quarterback carousel turning, you know, a lot of people are starting to write, and I don't know if you got to see this on Sports Illustrated. There was an article about why the Browns should just play Johnny. The punishment is great. We get it. But at the end of the day, this organization needs to move forward. And you and I were talking about it. You wouldn't play Johnny. You're not a big proponent of it. You don't like what he's done, the way he's conducted himself. Quite frankly, neither do I. But I think in the bigger picture, it's more than about just, you know, playing on Sunday. And it's more than just about what the guys on this coaching staff and in this locker room necessarily feel about Johnny Manziel. It's much more about, to me, can he play in the league? Because if he can, then you need to figure out a way to deal with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Much like Green Bay figured out a way to deal with Brett Favre, who basically, you know, drank himself out of Atlanta. Or much like the Dallas Cowboys figured out a way to deal with and control and corral Dez Bryant, who almost played his way out of there. Or, you know, maybe he has an epiphany like Chris Carter, who was out of the league, et cetera. But if he's not able to play, if he plays and it's just clear this guy's not an NFL quarterback, not worth the headache, Mon Frere.
Right.
Peace, see ya, deuces.
And your point in wanting to see him is to be able to determine that.
100%. Because if we go into another offseason and he's in a quarterback competition and we just don't know if he can play quarterback in this league, where are we as an organization? We're still dealing with the circus. We're still dealing with the headaches. We're nowhere closer to answering the question 2 years after drafting him. Now, some of that is his fault. A lot of that is his fault, I will say, because we would have had that opportunity had he handled himself better over the bye week and then in the fallout of what happened over the bye week. But okay, he didn't play him on national television, Monday Night Football. He got demoted. Josh McCown's hurt now. It's just, if everything was about for a while, you know, we got to play the best guy, give us the best chance to win, I think everybody would agree, at least at this point, Johnny gives you a better chance to win than Austin Davis. At least I would think people would agree with that.
Yeah, but to go back to your point about wanting to see him, and I know this is, you know, your perspective that you share, I'm sure, with many others who just want to go with Johnny Manziel. If you recall, I think it was last week, you know, over the course or in preparation or maybe even over the bye week when we heard from the coordinators, that John DeFilippo's comment, you know, came across as if he believes he's seen enough of Johnny Manziel to determine whether he can play in this league or not. So
who thinks that?
John DeFilippo's comments had mentioned that, and so that all I can take from that is that a lot of the reason why he's not starting is still the punishment associated with his bye week.
Of course it is.
Okay.
I agree with you. That's why. That's what it is. But how long are you going to go on with that?
I mean, is it the equivalent of, you know, a parent giving someone a two week no phone rule, and because, you know, when they're going to a basketball game and they want to be reachable, you give them the phone after a week? You're breaking your own rule. And that's a rule that we don't know. That's a rule that was discussed.
And then he lied about it.
And the bigger issue is, not an issue, but what we have to consider is, and I said it yesterday, it's not all on Mike Pettine. Ray Farmer, Jimmy Haslam, Kevin O'Connell, John DeFilippo are in agreement with what is happening. They have to be, because that's what we've been told all along. That everyone is in agreement.
That's what they said, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a meeting of the minds.
It's a majority rules.
Absolutely. That is the word. All right. When we come back, we still have, as I said, all coordinators on the show. Chris Tabor coming off what had to be one of the toughest days in his career. John DeFilippo, the offense coordinator. Jim O'Neill, the defense coordinator. They're all coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.